We talk a lot about how to make our children lovers of books and how important it is to model that for our kids. But when in the world do we actually read for ourselves? That's what we're talking about today. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three kids. In this episode, I'm sharing how and when I find time to read each day, plus some of my very favorite books. Listen in. Earlier this year at one of the seminars, someone asked about my reading life. She said, "How does Rachel, a busy mom of three, find so much time to read?" First of all, I'm not sure what she means by so much time, but the word find sticks out to me a lot. How do I find so much time to read? I wouldn't say that I find time to read as much as I make time to read. Reading for myself is so important. Recently, I was at lunch with a friend and she said, "I don't know how anyone can homeschool without reading. Of course, the Bible, but other books as well." I couldn't agree more. Reading sustains my life. This posture of needing to read will go a long way in helping you find time to read. Honestly, I can't afford not to read because it does so much to nurture my soul, give my mind and body a break from the demands of everything I have to do in taking care of my home and family. So that is where I would begin. Reading is something that I have to do and I want to do, and so I make time for it. I also want to take a minute to share something I don't do that creates space for reading. I don't really watch TV in the evenings. I will sometimes watch a movie or something, but it isn't a habitual practice. So generally speaking, my evenings are spent talking with my husband or reading. And most of the time we're home. So sometimes I might be out, but generally speaking, if I'm home, I'm either talking to my husband or reading in the evening. And so for the practical side of the question, I'll share some of the times in a day that I usually read. I always read the Bible first thing in the morning. Carol and I have both used St. James Daily Devotional Guide for a long time now. I especially love it for moms because it's so easy to break into a digestible size. When my kids were younger, I'd get up with them in the morning and make breakfast. We'd all sit down at the table together. Then I'd read them part of my reading from Psalms or the Gospel. Then once they were done eating, they'd go have some free time to play, inside or outside, while I had mostly uninterrupted time to read and pray. So we do things a little differently now since they're older, but it's generally the same flow. I still get time in the morning to read, and generally it's uninterrupted, even if people are around me talking and living. I love St. James's guide because it's broken into four sections: morning and evening psalms, a gospel reading, a New Testament reading, and an Old Testament reading. So if you're short on time or sleep, you can easily read the morning psalm or the passage from the gospel, which is usually a section of a chapter. So it gives you that morsel to feed your soul without feeling like you can't keep up with your reading plan. And actually, you don't even need a guide to do that. You could pick a gospel and read a section each day and make your way through a book. Or you can read through the Psalms by reading one each day. Either way, that reading is essential to my day. If I don't read anything else all day, I have to read from the Bible. So during those times, God often meets me right where I am and gives me a particular word for my current situation. Over the years, I have freely shared with the Lord how I am failing in my homemaking, or how tired I am, or how discouraged I am, or any other thing. And He always meets me and lifts my eyes to spiritual realities and gives me eternal perspective and encouragement. I think the whole point of a reading life is just the nourishment that it gives, how much it feeds the soul and the life of people. And that's really what it's all about, is that my imagination is hungry, my soul is hungry, and we're just needy people. We need things that feed the immaterial parts of ourselves as well as the material parts. So this habit of reading the Bible each morning sets the pattern for my day and helps to remind me that whatever I encounter in that day, I can bring it to God. I know the Bible says to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. But Hudson Taylor also talked a lot about this, and he would phrase it, roll your cares on the Lord. So I always picture that. And that practice has to have an essential place in our lives as followers of Jesus, but also as mothers, wives, and homemakers. Too often we carry around our burdens when we simply need to roll them onto the Lord and not carry them through a whole entire day or into our interactions with our kids, but to give them to God and to get the strength and the relief that we need to be able to step into the day and do what He's asked us and given us to do for this day. The other time each day that I am guaranteed to read is at night before I go to bed. So just like we read to our kids before they sleep, I always read before going to sleep. Usually I pick fiction or a biography. I'm a big biography girl, but I also lately have been more and more thankful for fiction. Stories are not a lesser form of reading. We need story, and often rich, meaningful stories provide so much nourishment for my imagination and soul. Besides that, plainly and simply, I need to quiet my mind. So I don't know if you ever get to bed at the end of the day and your mind is just racing, or you're thinking about what you could have said or what you would have said or what you should have done or what you'll do tomorrow or anything like that. What's going on in the world? Or maybe you're like having your phone beside you in bed. Oftentimes, if I don't read before I go to bed, then my mind races all night long and my rest is not restful. So it's very important for me to read before I sleep just to help quiet my mind and to turn off all the other thoughts and just say like, okay, we'll think about that tomorrow. So I leave my phone in another room and don't bring it into my bedroom. That way it isn't a distraction and I can completely unplug and prepare to sleep. So morning and bedtime, those are the two times each day that you'll always find me reading, first thing in the morning and right before bed. And then throughout the day, I may have opportunities to read, but it isn't the same every day. I usually read a little bit while my kids are resting, but I also sometimes take a nap. So it depends on the day. But I would like to say here that looking at your screen time would probably be a good check-in to do because it just so easily gets out of control. If you are on a screen killing time, then you definitely have time to read. Once I heard someone say they carry a book of poetry with them and pick it up when they are tempted to grab their phone, then they read a poem instead of mindlessly scrolling. So I think setting yourself up for success is really important. If your phone or a remote is within reach, you're probably going to grab it. And if you don't, it's just because you're exercising a whole lot of willpower, which you only have a certain amount of willpower each day. So I try not to have to use it on my phone use if I can help it.
JJ Side here to let you know about a new resource from Crossway Books, The Biggest Story Family Devotional, based on a book that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, Kevin DeYoung's Biggest Story Bible Storybook, with incredible illustrations from Don Clark, a storybook Bible that Kristen and I have read aloud cover to cover with our kids and really enjoyed. And now they've taken that wonderful storybook and adapted it into the Biggest Story Family Devotional with readings and questions that will help draw your kids into the story of Scripture and open up conversation. And I think that you'll find it to be a valuable tool for your rhythms of family worship. You can pick up a copy of The Biggest Story Family Devotional wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/family devotional to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. JJ Side here. One of my favorite resources that we use in our home, CTC Math. The founder, Pat Murray, is an award-winning math teacher, a dad of 10 himself. He teaches the concepts really simply and concretely and quickly. He makes it fun. He gets your kids moving quickly through the lecture into practicing and learning on their own. It's definitely removed a lot of the tears and the tension out of math in our house. There's even a 50% discount for homeschool families. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more.
Recently, I started using an app called Be Present, which has helped me. You set a time limit for phone use each day, and you can also choose certain times of day when your phone locks you out of certain apps. For instance, my phone basically shuts down at 10 p.m. and doesn't unlock until 8 a.m. Of course, there are ways to circumvent this. but Be Present makes it difficult to do so. They use the technology that makes apps so addictive. They use that same technology to break the spell a bit and make you have to like answer questions within yourself of like, do I really want to use my phone right now? Is this the best use of my time? And so they just have things within the app and within the controls that basically break through that primal instinct to chase dopamine. So that's really helpful because then you have to make decisions of like, okay, I've set this limit on this app. You know, for instance, with Instagram, I can only open it 2 times in a day and it has a time limit on how long I can be in the app. So, you know, maybe you're not on Instagram or you're not on Facebook or, but your body will seek out dopamine however it can find it. It is ridiculous. So it might be YouTube or you might get so desperate that you're opening the weather app and looking at weather or maps or whatever. So it's just really helpful. It's been helpful for me to use Be Present because then I just am making a decision about, hey, this is how I want to use my phone. And then the app just reinforces that and makes me stick to my commitments, basically. So all this to say, I'm not sure where you're at as a parent, but there are several different reasons you aren't cultivating your reading life. And so maybe it's that you don't think it's worth the time, that you have better things to do or things that you ought to be doing. Or maybe screen use is the barricade that's keeping you from reading. Or maybe it's because you think you need to read, but you think you need hours on end to actually read. So hopefully I have helped to dispel those myths. Reading is absolutely worth your time. I would argue that it will make you more productive and a more wholehearted leader in your home. Secondly, make sure you are unplugging throughout your day. Leave your phone out of reach so that you don't have to make the decision to not grab it. That will make picking up a book and reading deeply more possible. And then you don't need hours in a day to have a good reading life. If you just take 10 minutes to read, that's a great start. And if you start with small increments, it'll eventually build into more frequent reading and longer stretches, because it'll start to become a habit and it's very enjoyable to read. You're not just reading because, oh, it's what I ought to do. I should read, you know, so many pages or so many books in a year. If you're picking the right books and they're really great books and they're on a topic that you're actually interested in and telling a story that you're actually interested in, then it will be really rewarding for you to read. And then it creates this loop where you want to read. And you want to pick up the book. You want to have quiet moments. And when you do have a quiet moment, you want to read one of your books. I'll share a few other times that you might read. And then at the end, I'm going to share a little list of some of my favorite books. So I would recommend always take a book with you when you go to the park or run errands or have an appointment. It's just a good practice to always have a book with you. And then audiobooks can also be helpful. If my children are outside and I'm alone, then I will listen to an audiobook while I work in the kitchen or something. But it becomes overwhelming for me if people are running in and out of the house or trying to have a conversation with me. So I don't listen unless I'm alone. But if I'm alone, then an audiobook can be nice. So I used to listen to more in my ears with headphones. But as my children got older, I found myself getting angry that they were interrupting my listening with their legitimate needs. So I had to stop doing that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to if reading is meaningful for you. I need to read about people who have lived before me, endured trials, and held on to the faith. I need fictional stories that capture my imagination and nourish my soul. Once you feel that level of need, then you'll find any pockets of time that you can. Before we end, I wanted to share a few of my favorite books that have meant so much to me and ones that I highly recommend to you. The first is Hannah Coulter by Wendell Berry. Carol recently did a whole episode on Wendell Berry that you should listen to, but I adore his work. I have read Hannah Coulter 3 times, I believe, and I'm always looking for a reason to read it again. So this book gives me a vision of contentment and building an enduring life. I adore it. It's about a woman named Hannah Coulter, and it basically tells the story from her perspective, she tells the story of her life, and it is just really wonderful. I also recently read Jaber Crow by Wendell Berry, and I was not sure that it could be as moving as Hannah Coulter, but it was. It was amazing. So just gives such a vision for a life that I want to live, and so gives so much food for thought as well. The second book that I love and have loved in motherhood was Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. I know that some girls read this. I remember one time I saw like a little 11-year-old girl at church with it in her hands. And I think I had recently read it, and I just couldn't fathom how it could be what she was reading when she was reading it, because it was so meaningful to me as a young mom who was in my 20s. You know, I was late 20s, and it had been such a meaningful book to me. So Marmy mothered me in the book. Meg, going through her own motherhood journey, ministered to me. The story is just so lovely on so many levels. Then A Lantern in Her Hand by Bess Streeter Aldrich. It tells the story of a woman named Abby Deal who goes west in a covered wagon, and it's about their life as pioneers on the prairie. And I read this probably early in, within the first 5 years, I guess, of being married. And let's just say homemaking was something I really struggled with, and with feeling overwhelmed and just feeling like this is really hard and I'm not very good at it and all this kind of stuff. And so this is one of the books that helped me see that life isn't as hard as it could be, and that even when it is legitimately hard, feeling bad for myself and whining about it is not the solution. So I just loved this book. It also has so many interesting thoughts about passing on your legacy to the next generation, and how kind of, it's very similar to me to Hannah Coulter, of just how hard it is to raise children and see them go in different directions and really not having control over their destiny and who they become. And there's just some interesting kind of commentary on that. So, yeah, I love Hannah Coulter and A Lantern in Her Hand. Then I would say Le Brie by Edith Schaefer. This is another book I have read twice now. I would read it again because it's such a beautiful story of how God works in our lives and answers prayer. Le Brie tells the story of how Francis and Edith Schaefer founded their ministry in Switzerland, and so many amazing ways God provided for them. It's such a faith-building book. Then Mother Carey's Chickens by Kate Douglas Wiggin. I recently listened to this book because I had a hard time getting into it when I was trying to read it one time. And so I put it down for a while, and then I decided, okay, let's try this as an audiobook and see if I can get into it, because I'd heard so many amazing things. Carol did a whole podcast episode on it in episode 122, Yellow House Story Shop, who brings books to our seminars. The shop is named after Mother Carey's Chickens. So I knew it was a great book and a good story, but it was just not the right time, I guess, when I first opened it. So I tried it as an audiobook, and it was the right book at the right time. It was so encouraging, so lovely. So many great little lines also about the role of a mom and just the home that she was creating. I think that that is one of the most beautiful things about these novels and these stories about women who are mothering and who are making a home, is that they're really mentors. Like, I would consider all these women my mentors, because they have spoken into my life about my role as a woman, and in such profound ways, and in different ways than a person can who's just, who you're just having a conversation with or who you're watching and living life with. Like, obviously that is extremely valuable to have those women in our life who can be that for us. But then there's something special about a character in a book who can mentor you in a different way, because you get the internal perspective of their thoughts and their feelings about why or what, and you get just a more complete, not embodied in the flesh, but you get this more complete view of the inner workings that then helps give you perspective of why she did that in that moment, or her own, the tension that she feels around something or anything. It's just, it mentors you and speaks to you in this really lovely way. And I was recently talking to two friends of mine who we just started having a little book club together. And we were talking about how books can just enter into your life in such a different way because they come to where you are. And sometimes when we're like interacting with each other person to person, we can just come in like where we're at, you know, and the person that we're trying to minister to or mentor, we have to like really try to get to where they are. And a book just comes and meets you right where you are. And I think that's the beautiful thing about scripture being a book, God's word being a book, is that it comes, it's like, it is God coming to us and meeting us where we're at and speaking to us right there. And these stories and the other books that we read also have the power to do that. They come and meet us right where we are, and we can take from it what is nourishing and what is relevant in that moment. And then you read it again and different things stick out and you get a greater, a deeper understanding of the story or the character or the or whatever the situation is. And it deepens the relationship between the book and the characters and our own character as well. So the last two reading recommendations that I have for you are related to the home and homemaking, because it can also be wonderful to read some nonfiction books about that, speaking of mentors. So first I wanted to share Summa Domestica by Lila Lawler. Carol and I actually interviewed her on the podcast. And so definitely go and listen to those episodes. But a few years ago, I got this trilogy of books, which are all about homemaking. So there's three volumes, and one is on home culture, one is on home education, and one is on homemaking. And they are so encouraging and practical. If I'm ever feeling discouraged or at a loss with managing my home or family life, I pick up one of these volumes. They were originally blog posts that Lila wrote for her blog that then were published in book form. So it's very readable, and many of the entries are fairly short, like a blog post length, and then some are longer. But they're great for a little midday boost before dinner prep, you know, if you're getting discouraged or feeling like the laundry is caving in on you or something like that, then just one of these can be a great thing to read at rest time and just kind of reinvigorate the homemaker in you. So, and then lastly, I wanted to share two books by Michaelyn Smith. She's probably been my home decorating big sister. That's kind of how she describes herself, is the big sister who will boss you around and tell you what to do in your home. So she wrote her two most recent books, I guess, A Cozy Minimalist Home and Welcome Home. And then she also has a more recent book actually called Home Rules, which is very fun. I had it and then I gave it to a friend, so I need to get another copy of it. But Cozy Minimalist Home is about decorating your home and basically making it your house a cozy place to be with the least amount of stuff. So it's not about like being minimalist for minimalist sake, but just having only what you need. I feel like almost any mom I talk to is like always wanting to declutter or needing to declutter. Just stuff is always coming into our homes, and we're always using our homes, and our families are always changing. So we're needing different things, not needing certain things anymore. So I love her approach to making your home a place that works for your family and is also really cozy. And she just has really great tips. And these books are so inspiring and helpful. And then Welcome Home is more a book about the different seasons and how you can connect with the different senses to experience the seasons in your home and have like a seasonal experience with the things that you see, the things you taste and touch and smell. And so I love that too. So Welcome Home and Cozy Minimalist Home. And Michael Lynn Smith, she has taught me so much about embracing the limitations of my home, using what I have to make it beautiful, and how to create a cozy place for our family. So I love these books. I hope this episode has encouraged you to create time to read in each day. It will truly enrich your life in every way.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.